Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends, and welcome back to our study on the Book of Job, which is entitled, Is God Guilty as Charged? As we're going to see a little bit later, Job actually puts God on trial and levels some pretty heavy accusations against God. Now, what's interesting in the first part of this leading up to the trial is that Job had three friends that came to console him in his hour of greatest need. So these were friends, but something happened. Something turned real bad. These three friends became Job's enemies. Now, how did these friends turn into his enemies? The answer is, they made a judgment that was not right. We're supposed to judge righteous judgment. These people did not judge with righteous judgment. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, it says that we are to always speak the truth in love. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, and there's two parts to that. We are always, one, to speak the truth. So that's the first part. We have to speak truth and not lies. But the second thing is, even when we speak the truth, it should be from a motivation of love, not to hurt somebody, because you can have the truth, but you can be speaking it to hurt somebody. Another thing is, you might, in your mind, have all the love in the world, and you're speaking something, but it's an error. So God wants us to have both. One, speaking the truth, and two, speaking that truth in love. So let's see how Job's three friends judged Job. Did they speak the truth? Did they speak it in love? If the answer is yes, they spoke the truth in love, then they will be judging according to righteous judgment. I will say to you that they did not speak the truth in love, and therefore they did not speak with righteous judgment. And that is exactly why these three friends became Job's three enemies. And we cannot make that same mistake. So let's evaluate what's going on here, because if we are to judge the world and even to judge angels, then we need to learn how to judge righteous judgment. And right now, today, is our training ground. We are supposed to learn every day how to judge situations to prepare us to judge the angels and judge the world in the future. Right now, we're in university. These are our classes. This is our training ground. So let's read here in Job chapter 3 and verses 1 through 3. This is in Job chapter 3 and verses 1 through 3. And this chapter here starts after the 7 days of silent mourning that Job had with his three friends. And Job is the one finally speaking up. He breaks the silence after 7 days. Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. Job spoke, "Let the day perish in which I was born, and the night which said, a man-child is conceived." I must point out here that Job did not curse God. He did curse the day of his birth due to his present unquenchable suffering, but he did not curse God. Now, continuing his lamentation, Job asks, and this is dropping down now to verses 20 through 25, still Job chapter 3, but now verses 20 through 25, Job is lamenting. "Why is light given to one who is in misery, and life to the bitter in soul, who is waiting for death but it comes not, and digs for it more than treasures? They are glad when they can find the grave. But to a man whose way is hidden, God has made a hedge about him. For my sighing comes before I eat, and my groaning is poured out like waters. For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that of which I was afraid has come to me." I want you to remember Job's comment in verse 23, where he says, to a man whose way is hidden, God has made a hedge about him. Because this gives us our first clue as to some of the charges that Job is going to bring against God. But in looking at what Job is saying, I mean, can we really blame him? Job is saying that he's in so much pain personally. He's experienced so much suffering from the loss of his family, from his wife telling him to curse God and die, just give up the ghost, but curse God before you do it. And from the loss of his house and all of his wealth and his servants. So he's got a lot physically and emotionally that he's suffering from. And I don't know if you've ever been around somebody that is in just horrible, horrible, excruciating pain. And it's prolonged pain. It's just gone on for days and weeks and months. I've been around people like that. And sometimes people are ready to die, because the pain is just too much. And that's where Job was. He had boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. That was painful. And so Job is just lamenting, man, I want out of here. Just, God, just check me out of here. Don't hedge me in and keep me alive. Just check me out of here. Now Eliphaz, the first of Job's three friends, responds to Job's lamenting. And you would think that as a friend, they would speak the truth in love. But notice what happens here. This is in Job chapter 4 and verses 2 through 9. And we're asking the question, did they judge this situation righteously? And if you haven't heard the previous program, please, please go back and read the previous program. Look on our website. You can download the previous program either on the audio portion or the written portion, because we talked about judging righteous judgment. And that's going to be a theme that we're going to carry throughout the rest of our discussion. So that's extremely important to understand that part about judging righteous judgment. And we need to see if they judge righteous judgment. So in Job chapter 4, in verses 2 through 9, it says, "Shall one try a word with you, you who are weary? But who can hold back with words? Behold, you have instructed many, and you have made the weak hand strong. Your words have upheld him who was falling, and you have made strong the feeble knees. But now it's come upon you, and you faint? It touches you, and you are troubled? Is not your reverence your hope? Is not your hope the uprightness of your ways? Remember this, Job. Please remember this. Whoever perished being innocent." That's never happened to people. Innocent people don't perish. "Or where were the righteous ever cut off? As I have seen, the ones who plow iniquity and sow wickedness, they reap the same. By the blast of God they perish, and by the breath of his nostrils they are destroyed." Whoa! Whoa! Back up a moment, Eliphaz. Now keep in mind that this guy's a well-meaning friend, but Eliphaz has the nerve to say to Job that Job's tribulations are the direct result of Job's sins. He's saying, now, listen, whoever perished being innocent? Job, you're not innocent. That's why you're perishing. He says, "I have seen the ones who plow iniquity and sow wickedness. They reap the same thing." Job, you're reaping what you've sown. And Job, on top of that, you set yourself up to be this big, strong person. You were always counseling people and telling them to keep a stiff upper lip and whatnot, and now the same thing that's happened to other people have happened to you, and you can't take it? Where's your strength? It's like, man, Eliphaz, what kind of stuff is this? I mean, how can you call yourself a friend and just come and blast me like that? Just blast me out of the water. I mean, how can you do that? You see me sitting here suffering, and you're just going to make it worse? I'm like down and out, and you're just going to stomp on me? And as we'll soon see, this kind of rebuke from his friends fuels Job's bitterness of heart. And it sparks a desire in Job's mind to put God on trial as he seeks to defend himself against this bizarre, just like out of the blue and off base persecution that he's receiving. All right, and Eliphaz continues. This is now in Job chapter 5 and verses 1 through 8. He's continuing here. This is in Job chapter 5, 1 through 8. Eliphaz is still speaking. "Call now, is there anyone who will answer you? And to which of the saints will you turn? For vexation kills the fool, and envy slays the simple one. I have seen the fool taking root, but suddenly I cursed his dwelling place. His children are far from safety, and they are crushed in the gate, nor is there any to deliver them. Their harvest the hungry eats, and takes it even out of the thorns, and the snares swallow up their wealth. For affliction does not come forth from the dust, it doesn't just come out of nowhere, nor does trouble spring up out of the ground. There's a reason for your trouble, Job. Man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. Truly, if I were you, Job, I would seek God, and to God I would put my plea. Now again, can you believe this? Eliphaz is actually saying that it is to be expected that Job's children would not be protected because of Job's foolish behavior. You remember that Job's 7 children died, and Job is saying, and Eliphaz is saying to Job, I have seen the fool taking root, but suddenly I cursed his dwelling place. His children are far from safety. They're crushed in the gate. I mean, goodness. You're talking about my children? You're saying to me that my children died in this horrible accident because I've done something wrong? That's what Eliphaz was accusing Job of. And then on top of that, he turns around and says to Job that, Job, listen, you should be happy that you're not getting more punishment than what you deserve, that God is correcting you for your wrongdoing. We can see that in verse 17. Eliphaz says, Behold, blessed is the man whom God corrects. Therefore, do not despise the chastening of the Almighty. Now, what kind of reaction do you think this provoked in Job? Well, we're going to see that in our next program. Thanks for joining me on this program, and may God be in you.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.
666, the mark of the beast. What is the mark of the beast? Before you can know for sure what is the mark of the beast, you must know for sure the identity of the beast. I will reveal to you from the pages of the Bible the identity of the beast during 2 free seminars entitled, What is the Mark of the Beast? The first one will be held on Thursday, January 18th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Wesley Chapel Library, which is located at 2861 Wesley Chapel Road in Decatur, Georgia. The second seminar will be held on Thursday, February 1st from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Covington Library, which is located at 3500 Covington Highway in Decatur, Georgia. For more information, call 404-412-0032 or log on to our website at www.christianambassadors.org. Please don't miss this extremely important seminar, or you might miss the opportunity to escape the wrath of God that comes upon those who receive the mark of the beast. This message is sponsored by the ABCs of the Bible radio program.